You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with the Writer, where readers and writers meet, and story is everything. Your guest tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You're going to listen to the Hot Texas Swing Band.
Yes, by Alex Dormont in Hot Texas. And we're so delighted that you're joining us tonight. This is episode 195. Oh, my goodness. It is the last episode for the month of July 2026. And whether you are with us live tonight or you are picking this up on the podcast rerun or audio on Podbean, we are just so happy that you're with us. Who's our guest tonight?
John Bradshaw. Oh,
John is back. There he is.
Hello. Hey,
good to see you, John.
Hello, John. John, do you know we were looking over because you were with us a year ago, and you know what? You were also the last show in July 2025.
Just a year ago.
You know, maybe we should be booking you already
for the year from now.
Yes.
Where are you joining us from tonight, John?
I'm joining you from my home outside of Abernathy, Texas.
Wonderful, wonderful. And we want to, before we find out where we are tonight, we do want to say a special hello to all of our friends of Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison that we just know, right, John? We are know that you are watching on Facebook, and you may be even commenting or sharing or leaving us a question. We really appreciate that you do that. And John, do you want to say a hello?
Hello. Hello to everyone. Thank you for joining in.
And Jim, where are we broadcasting from tonight?
Well, I tell you, we're in Alpine, Texas. It's 1913. We're here to interview Huey Calaway. But right now, Huey's young cowboy, Enrique, is showing us how to snap a rattlesnake's head off by holding it by the tail and snapping it like a whip. He wants me to try it.
No.
Oops. I have the snake with the tail, but it's got two fangs into my leg. Bobby, we got a snake bite, kid?
No.
I'm in trouble.
Yeah, we're in trouble. But John is here, and he and Enrique are going to get us out of that trouble. Well, we are delighted. A year ago, as we said, John Bradshaw was with us with his first book, Elmer Kelton's The Familiar Stranger. And tonight we're going to be talking in great detail about this incredibly fun read, as was the first book, Elmer Kelton's The Blessing. And oh my goodness, as readers, we can say, you need it. It will entertain you. It is stories within stories.
It's a great book.
Within stories, and highly enjoyable. So, Jim, do you want to tell us a little something about John?
Yeah, we have a bio here. John Bradshaw is a native of a small town in Abernathy, Texas. In 2007, he accepted a full-time position with Livestock Weekly, which he still freelances for today. An award-winning novelist and journalist, John has published over 1,000 stories and 2 novels. His wife, Sarah, owns an architectural firm, and together they raise Spanish goats, hair sheep, and cattle. And I also read that you train border collies. Is that right, John?
That is right, yes. I show ranch horses and sheep dogs, and Sarah also shows sheep dogs. We go to trials often. I bought the dog, my first dog, actually, to help me here with our own livestock, and I like to compete, so it just kind of grew from there.
We love border collies. We just wouldn't have a big enough place for them to run.
Well, we had, we had friends that had one, and that dog never would stop.
No,
and it was constantly in motion.
It always wanted to be around me. You know, I was
looking did to like visit you, didn't
that
it?
Because that dog just loved to be around me. Well, we are. Let me see. I don't want to get us off track. Okay. So, yes. So this book, The Blessing, Elmer Kelton's The Blessing. Congratulations, John. It was named a Will Rogers Medallion winner this year. Can you tell us a little bit about the Will Rogers Medallion Award? And we'd love to know how you were notified and what your first thoughts were when you heard the news.
Well, that's a tremendous honor for me. I'm a fan of Will Rogers. I was notified by mail, although I did learn about it online earlier than that. But that the category was Western Modern Fiction. Okay. And there are three winners in that category. And the other two are Stephen Graham Jones and James Wade, who are both very talented and accomplished authors. So that was an honor in itself to be in such good company. So
And there is a big, wonderful event that will happen where you will receive the award. Is that in October?
That's late October in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah. And I know you're going to be there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, let's see.
Oh, so you got that email notification. You know, sometimes when those things come in, they're kind of cold, and you kind of think, well, what is this? You didn't think that was a bogus email and decided to delete it, did you?
Like, we know there's so many hoax emails out there right now.
Yeah, no, I knew that notification, if it was coming to me, would be around then. So,
Yeah. Well, we're just delighted for you. Really, really fun to have that happen. So let's talk a little bit about how you inherited Elmer Kelton's characters.
Okay. Elmer was always my hero. I grew up reading Elmer's novels and been one of my favorites since I was a small child. And Elmer wrote for the newspaper Livestock Weekly. And then Elmer's son, Steve, was my editor and my mentor and my friend. Well, Steve took over this group of characters from the Good Old Boys and Six Bits a Day and the Smiling Country. And Steve wrote one book on his own called The Unlikely Lawman. And Steve had begun that one right there, The Familiar Stranger, when Steve died. And Steve's widow asked me to complete it, which was a shock and a really, really big honor for me. So I, of course, said yes. And since then, I did make an agreement with basically Elmer's daughter, but the Elmer Kelton estate, to continue. So I
very fun.
Great.
Very fun. And the new book that we're going to be talking about tonight, The Blessing, it picks up, it's 1913, so it picks up several years after Familiar Stranger.
That's right.
But it ties to one of the other books that Steve wrote, I believe.
It kind of ties to them all. It mostly ties to Elmer's book, The Smiling Country, which was set in 1910. And at the end of that book, Huey Calloway had gotten married and was headed back to Alpine, Texas. So that's where I took off with the blessing.
And that's I know you have a question.
I have a question?
Yeah, I know you have a question.
I do. Actually, I'm thinking it's kind of a complex question to a degree. When you inherit literature that you're going to work with and the characters, you probably just, it's a little difficult to kind of get in their mindset so you can keep them on that train that they've been on, particularly if there's been two or three or four books before. You've got to become familiar with the characters, and then you
to be
write
true.
New stories for them. But then you got to keep within the same mind frame in the same as the character you started with. So like Yui, for instance, was it difficult to just keep writing Yui the way he was?
I don't feel like it was difficult, and I hope I did a good job of it. I had read all three of Elmer's books, and then I'd read Steve's books multiple times. And then when I started The Familiar Stranger, I went back and I studied those books. So I feel like I knew those characters about as well as anybody other than Elmer, probably.
Right.
So, you know, I just had those characters progress through life as everybody does. Like Huey, for example, was always so reckless and carefree. And
yeah,
men, you know, who were pretty similar. And although they remain fairly reckless, they did age and they matured and they still changed to some degree. And I tried to make Huey do that. I wanted him to be the same carefree, fun person, but you know, he was married.
Yeah.
He was running a ranch.
Yes. So
he couldn't be quite as reckless as he was in his youth, but he still had the same personality.
And his wife Spring is very conscious of money, and she kind of keeps him on the more straight and narrow. But you know, when you say fun loving, Huey is a storyteller. And you're a storyteller, and you're sharing Huey's stories in such a lovely way that you know, he's funny. He uses stories in a lot of different ways, doesn't he? He'll tell a story like Lincoln to prove a point, or to like the blind mule story.
Yeah.
And he uses that story to help Spring kind of understand something. And none of us, the reader, you know, we're just entertained by the story. And then just like Spring, we get to his final line and we go, oh, that was a good story, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's Huey's style right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And he used
his style. He's known all over the Southwest for his antics. Everybody knows him.
He was a lawman or an outlaw. Because as soon as he says his name, he must never have had his face on a
and
poster.
More people know about him than you, Wyatt Earp.
You're Huey. You know, like, everybody knows, don't they? That's so fun.
You know, would you ever be interested in sitting down, if you could, talk to Elmer Kelton and talk about the characters and different plot lines? I assume that Mr. Kelton had passed on before you started taking up this project.
Oh, yeah. Elmer passed away quite a while back. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever think when you're writing, do you think, what would Elmer do? Or is it just so ingrained in you now that you are Elmer? I mean, that you got it.
Well, I would certainly never say that I am Elmer, but at all. But I do wonder about that. Like, what would he think? And I hope that I've stayed true to his characters enough that he would approve.
Yeah.
And I hope that Elmer's looking down and smiling at what's happened. So
I'm sure that he is. Do you have another question?
Maybe we asked this. I was thinking, do you use your own real experiences in the storytelling?
Oh, for sure. My personal experiences. I grew up around horses and cattle, and then I wrote for the newspaper Livestock Weekly for so long and have interviewed so many countless people, and it all meshes together into characters, into things that happen to those characters. So yes, my personal experiences plus what I've heard.
So you know Fat Garvin personally, right?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
If you make a statement that you prove over and over again in the book, but I try to get my horse and livestock material correct. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, that's very important to me. And my books have been pretty heavy on the horse stuff. And I'm sure they will be, because I mean, my dad was a horseshoer. I was a horseshoer for some time, and I show horses. I get very aggravated if I read a book or watch a movie and they get simple things wrong. So I'm sure there is someone out there who will read one of my books and disagree with something I've done, but I hope there aren't too many people who disagree with it, because I feel like it's pretty accurate and I want it to be.
Well, we understand that. We have a friend by the name of Peter Shirico.
Peter Shirico.
He corrected me on the show one day when I used the wrong word, duster, instead of your frock coat.
He
was a stickler for the details, just like you are.
Yeah. And Peter is very involved in Western film. He's sort of the go-to guy to be sure that if you want it accurate, you go to Peter to be sure. It's the right saddle. It's the right firearm. It's the right everything for whatever year, you know, you're working on. And he's fascinating, and he talks about that all the time.
You know, you almost devoted a whole chapter to this phenomenon of screw worm.
Yes, screw worm fly.
Yes.
And what is that? What is that all about?
Well, it's sort of coincidental that screw worms are now such a big thing in the news and to ranchers.
Yeah.
Mostly in Texas, or maybe entirely in Texas at this point. But, you know, I used to interview a lot of old ranchers, and they would tell me these stories from when they were young and doctoring screw worms. And it was, they're a terrible deal for livestock and wildlife, but they eradicated screw worms from the United States 50, maybe 60 years ago. So hadn't been a thing. Nobody other than very elderly people remember doctoring screw worms, but it was a daily thing for them. And now this summer, screw worms are back in Texas.
Yeah.
And they're not yet that widespread, but it's a big problem. But I put that in there because that was such a big part of ranching in 1913 and beyond then. But yes.
Yeah. And I remember we were reading and you came out of the office and you said, screw worm. And it's in the news right now. This book is so relevant.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of amazing because I thought this thing, the whole thing had been eradicated. Oh. Where in the heck are these coming from? I know a author friend of ours, Joe Brown, we meet for breakfast occasionally. That was a big conversation one morning. We started talking about it.
I can't imagine talking about screw worm over breakfast, but okay. John, we're going to step away for just a moment, and we're going to thank our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, for their constant support of Rendezvous with a Writer. And we have a message from them. Are you a writer looking to increase your book's visibility, eager for a public book tour, or thinking about refreshing your website? Here's a word from our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. They can assist you with all that and more. And we'll have more with our guest, John Bradshaw, when we come back. Don't go away.
Yeah.
You're invited to join the team. Up your author brand when you team up with Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, specializing in author branding, digital book tours, book reviews, and social media. Experienced, trusted, effective. Get noticed. Visit BlueCottageAgency.com and ClicksByMadison.com. Proud sponsors of Rendezvous with a Writer.
Way out west in Texas, it's where I long to be. Riding on the prairie with a good horse under me. 3 long years I've bummed around, my heart is sad and blue. I'm going back to the woolly west where your friends are always true. Yodelay, 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 hey, oh-dee. Well, away out west in Texas, where the atmosphere is light, you roll up in your blanket on the prairie every night. Where the rattlesnakes and the old horn toads, they sleep right by your side. On the desert sands of Texas, it's where I long to ride. Yodelay, 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 hey, oh-dee.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking with John Bradshaw. And you've just been listening to Don Edwards, by Ray Singer.
Yeah.
Doing Way Out West in Texas, and that's what, from his album, My Hero, Gene Autry.
Gene Autry. And I love the line about rattlesnakes at your side, because, John, your book is full of incidents with rattlesnakes, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I hope not too much, but I remember the summer when I wrote that book, we were covered up with rattlesnakes here, and I guess they were just on my mind, and that came out in the book.
Well, we've been talking about the book, but we're going to take a little bit closer look at it now, and we're talking about Elmer Kelton's The Blessing. You want to give us a little bit of inspiration behind the book, John, a little bit of maybe also a synopsis without any spoiler alerts, of course?
Sure. Starts in 1913 at the end of The Smiling Country, which was the book before this one. Elmer had Huey freshly married and headed to Alpine, Texas to run a ranch. And that's where I picked up 3 years later. And Huey had matured a little bit. Huey and Spring both wanted to start a family, but had been unable to at that point. And in Steve's book, The Unlikely Lawman, Huey, who was always generous, but he helped out these people in Colorado. And I kind of took that idea and I had those people pay Huey back, because he gave them a bunch of money like he always does. And they paid him back, because knowing that he would not accept a monetary gift, they gave him land, and Huey was able to get a ranch back in Upton County, which was like his second home. Not exactly, it's not where he grew up, but that's where his brother was and his nephews and his sister-in-law. So took Huey back to Upton County, but it also took him back where his old adversary, Fat Gervin, lived, who was now his neighbor.
Well, Fat Gervin, he's quite a guy, isn't he?
Must have been fun to must have been fun to write, I would think.
Yeah. Elmer created Fat Gervin, and Fat was a constant problem for Huey. He was in six bits a day. He was a lot of trouble in The Good Old Boys and then again in The Smiling Country. So I just ran with what Elmer had done between Huey and Fat.
Frank to his friends.
Yep.
But he didn't have any friends. So.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. He had no friends.
Let's see. You do, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, they're just stories within the story of this book. Tell us a little bit about the boys. He meets up with some boys that are on a wagon. And it's a kind of a rickety wagon, and they're on their way to New Mexico, I think. And it's just kind of a fun little story.
Yeah, that came to be because I read a book, and I have it right here. It's called Riding the Mustang Trail by Forrester Blake. And it's a true account. It's a nonfiction book about four young men from the Texas Panhandle who went to New Mexico to buy and gather Mustangs and drive them back. Well, a very good friend of mine, his great-granddad is one of those boys who did that. Mm-hmm. And I read that book and I don't know, I just felt like putting that in there. I used his name. I distorted their story a little bit, and it's a brief story within the book, but I just wanted to, I don't know, give a little credit to my friend's great-granddad, who seemed like, I don't know, such an interesting person.
Yeah, yeah, and they all know, they hear his name, right? And it's another, like, all those four boys all seem to know exactly who Huey is.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I've known men like that in my life that were just such famous cowboys that everybody knew who they
everybody
were.
Like
Tom Blassingame from the J.A. Ranch, or Apache Adams from the Big Bend Country. Like, you say those names in Texas and people know who those guys are. So I figured he was the same way.
Yeah.
It is kind of amazing, though. You know, it's a little surprised me. I mean, I'm thinking everybody knows who you is. And I think, well, how crazy a guy could have been that everybody knew who he was.
Yeah.
I think it's that's interesting. That's a phenomenon and not a counter to other parts of the country.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a little, you know, kind of a little peculiar to the Southwest and Texas in particular.
Yeah. And it's 1913, and you do give us a few new inventions. There's a little concern about how the tractor might impact those who raise and trade horses and mules. We have a little bit about the tractor coming in, don't we? And yes. And some people deciding to raise sheep. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of get a little bit about that. And then there's hamburger.
Yeah. And I've researched some of those things, like hamburgers, for example. And I think that I was pretty accurate with the timeline. Like, hamburgers were a new thing at that point in time and still a bit of a novelty. So,
and Huey thinks, you know, the longhorns that he has, that, you know, they're not that tasty, really. He kind of begins to think, you know, hamburger. The hamburger might be the answer there.
That's right.
And then you have a wonderful story, and I did go back and I found it and I read it through just a few times, about a young man and saddling up an old paint. And yes. Kind of taking on a challenge. You want to tell us a little bit about that story and a little bit about that writer?
Sure. That in the book, Huey is in San Angelo, Texas, and he just happens upon a scene where a man, sort of a traveling shyster almost, has a really bad paint horse.
Yeah.
And he will take bets from anybody who thinks that they can catch, saddle, and ride this horse, and he'll give them five times their money, whatever they want to bet. So Huey considers doing that, but decides he's too old and beat up and has too much responsibility, so he just watches. So in the book, there is a young man who takes the challenge, and our son Boone died when he was 5 years old, and only a few months before I wrote the majority of The Blessing. So it's an unusual story. I was in a really, really bad place at that point in time and tried a lot of things just to survive, basically. And one of them was ketamine therapy. And I mean, it was real therapy at a clinic. I didn't just take horse ketamine myself, but during ketamine therapy, I mean, it's a psychedelic. You're out of your mind. I envisioned that entire scene during about a 45-minute ketamine session. I saw that in my head, the whole thing. And
That's
I
amazing.
Came home and wrote that scene, and that boy is my son, Boone.
Boone.
And I decided then that he will have a cameo in every book I write from now on. And I just finished a rough draft of another, and he's in there. And so that's how that came to be.
It's a wonderful.
Yeah, that's a story within a story.
And
here.
Since neither of us are at all equestrian, I know Jim was like, can you follow what's happening? And his hands this way and his head's this way. And, you know, we're like, only somebody that rides Bronx. No, I can't. But it's cinematic. Like, we could imagine it following it on the screen. It's so very well,
you know, it's
written.
It reminded me, I'm still a Bobby today. It reminded me of those shysters at county fairs and state fairs.
Yeah.
You know, where they'd have these contests lined up, but they'd always have something rigged.
Yeah.
And I told Bob, I says, you know, in this case, it's not like he just gets on a bucking bronc.
Oh,
he has to put a saddle on it in the open, you know.
Yeah.
It's not, he's not a closed position. And I'm thinking, well, the old man who's starting this whole program the shyster, he probably thinks that 80% of them are going to fall away because they just can't get
the saddle on. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, it's just a wonderful scene. It's just a wonderful scene. Let's see. We are going to take another break. And we're going to step away for a moment to tell you where you can get John's books, as well as the books of many, many of the guests that we have on Rendezvous with a Writer. You can find them on our Out West Shop affiliate at bookshop.org. And when we come back, we're going to hear another little piece of music and more with John. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
West Texas sand is in my blood. Writing memories of how it was gets me through the hard times and waits for things to come. West Texas sand is in my blood.
West Texas dirt runs through my veins. All the folks who know me say that I'm as pure as sugar cane. Values grown in Texas soil last through drought and rain. Yeah, West Texas dirt runs through my veins.
Welcome back. You just been listening to the band Lone Prairie performing West Texas Sand. Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Song?
Yeah, it's a great song. And, you know, John, as I read this book, there is just music, as so often happens for me. It's just music that just is like the backdrop for me as I'm reading. So it's always fun to add a little bit of singer-songwriter to the creative project that you have going on. So I'm holding up one more time Elmer Kelton's The Blessing, a Huey Calloway adventure. And this is the book we've been talking about tonight. And I think we're going to shift right now into specific things about characters. And you have a question you always love to ask.
Well, yeah, as we mentioned the other night, any of these folks ever surprise you?
Yes, they do at times. I'm not big on outlining. I just kind of take off writing. So sometimes they go in directions that I didn't even see coming. So, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of these characters, of course, are from other books and you're moving forward with them. Do you have a way to kind of keep track of who was in a book? Or, you know, what did they look like when you wrote them in the last book? So you're trying to stay true to the character. Do you do any kind of some sort of organization system for yourself to keep track of characters?
No, maybe I should, but I do not. I feel like I know the characters well enough that I don't do that, but I hope it works.
That's
I'm sure it does, you know, like. Whoops, we're missing a character. What happened to that guy?
Yeah.
When did he have a book? Stash? We're just going to have a little fun. We're not trying to stomp you, but we're going to call out a name and just hope that you'll just tell us a sentence or two about that character. And if you want to pass, it's fine. You can just say next and we'll call out a different name. And we'll start with Huey. We've talked about him some tonight, but is there something you'd like to be sure that we all know about Huey Calloway?
Huey is just, as Elmer said, a good old boy. Huey He tries to do right. Sometimes his recklessness takes him in the wrong direction, but he has a very good heart, a good work ethic. He's just a little too wild for his own good at times.
He is, and that's what everybody knows him. But, you know, he has got a very strong moral character.
Yeah, he is.
You know, he is really... He does what he's supposed to do, except when he's getting crazy.
Yes.
Okay, who do you want to ask about?
Well, we got Spring. It's an interesting first name. That's his wife.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's she like?
Tell us a little bit about Spring.
Spring is a smart, kind woman. She is Huey's anchor. And his moral compass. She keeps Huey kind of reined in.
Yeah, she does. And she's a ranch wife. I mean, she knows exactly what to do on the ranch, whether she was working with, you know, Huey's as the foreman in the previous ranch, or when they're out on their own. She's got it. She just knows all of the things that a ranch wife has to do. You know, if I suddenly became a ranch wife, I would be just hopeless. So I really respect those women that just know exactly, you know, how to cook for 12, or, you know, all the things that they just know how to do is amazing to me.
You know, that is kind of interesting. But it's just a little thing. I remember when I was living on the farm, you know, as a little kid, you know, and they have... with the combine season, whatever they were picking crops or whatever particular project they're on, and would have meals.
Yeah,
you know, with hired hands would be there. You'd have maybe 13 people around the table, and you think, how does she do that?
Yeah, it gets the meal. You know, not thinking about it. Okay, we really like Aparicio Rodriguez, his wife Olivia, and their daughter Alina. Tell us about that little family.
That, I don't know. I've known people like Aparicio, and Aparicio is a good man with a very good heart. Aparicio is from Mexico, living in Texas, and I don't want to give away too much, but they do Huey and Spring an incredible favor. They're just selfless, good people.
Yep. And Olivia is a really, really good friend to Spring, and little Elena she's just a love. When she's on the page, you can just feel how really special she is. And then there's the nephew.
Enrico. And he reminds me, he's got at least a tad of you in him, I think.
Yeah. You in him. Yep. Enrique is just a kind of a young, wild boy who wants to be a cowboy and is a really good cowboy. And he follows Huey when he leaves to come back to Upton County. And he's a big help to Huey.
Yeah.
You know, he's really in the vein of a real vaquero, you know. To me... And I think that most folks, they're a little bit different than the regular American cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
Would you care to comment on that a little?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had them, you know, they were working in Texas, so they cowboyed more like Texans. But I know that I had a scene in there where Enrique was talking about his dad teaching him things about horses in Mexico. So it... it doesn't have too much of the vaquero style, but maybe a little bit of it bleeds through.
Yeah, because I think in that one of the scenes, he gets on the saddle on the opposite side.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's so interesting. And then he talked about why his dad taught him that. And I thought, well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And that was just a little thing that somebody told me years ago. You know, we were talking about why are you getting off the right side when everybody else gets on and off the left. And that guy told me, and I don't. It was just in the back of my head. So I was stuck in there.
Yeah. All right. Tell us. You? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh. You know what? I'm thinking about it. You just told that story. Did you need to do a lot of research on these folks? You know, you seem to have a pretty strong, you know, ranch background. But did you have to do some more research?
Or on 1913 on the time or anything?
I did research on things like the town of Rankin was brand new at that point in time, and there was mention of a railroad track that was brand new, and all of those things I had to research. I didn't know those things. As far as the ranching, no, I did very little research on that because I felt like I had a good enough understanding of those things.
Let's see. Who's Tommy Calloway?
Tommy is Huey's nephew. That's Walter's son. Who he was in the Good Old Boys as a child, and he was in the Smiling Country again. And in this book, he's down there with Huey and comes back with him. And Huey was always kind of Tommy's idol because he just wanted to be a cowboy.
Yeah, and he's fun too. Every page that he's on is really fun. And then we have Texas Rangers. We have Captain Clarence Rogers, and again, no spoiler alerts, but suddenly we have Texas Rangers in the story.
That's right. Yeah, there are two, sort of. There's Hanley Baker, who was Steve's invention in The Unlikely Lawman, and then Clarence Rogers, he's new in this book, but just old, hardcore Texas Ranger types who, you know, they walk the straight and narrow and want everybody else to do the same.
Yeah,
I'd say he's a pretty stern guy. Is he modeled after anybody you know?
No, I didn't. I don't know. I just took bits and pieces of several people and made an old, tough Texas Ranger.
Yeah. So where we're seeing you on camera, is that a favorite place to write? Is that a creative spot for you, John?
Yeah, I hope it's creative, but it is certainly the favorite place to write. This is what we call the casita. It's a small house, casita, separate from our regular house. And this is my office. This is where I write all the time. You may have seen my little dog walking around in the background. That's my little writing companion.
Yeah, fun. Do you write? Do you write longhand, or are you on a laptop or a tablet, or how do you write? What do you write on?
It's all on a desktop. I don't write anything by hand unless I'm writing a newspaper story and taking notes. But it's all right here, Microsoft Word.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. I'm just looking at time, and we want to be sure that you tell us. I think you have published. Do you have another book out, John, besides these two?
I do. I had one come out about 2 months ago. It's called Between Two Skies, From Vietnam Medevac Pilot to Helicopter Cowboy. And it's a nonfiction, basically a biography of a man that I wrote a couple of stories about him for the newspaper. And over the years, I wrote a lot of stories about people who had interesting pasts. And Aubrey Lang was the only one I ever met that I felt had enough stories to make a book. Because he was a Vietnam pilot, and he served two really exciting tours. And then he came back, and he started Lang Helicopters, and he's flown all over the Southwest, mostly in Texas, but he's flown for every big ranch in Texas, gathering cattle, doing predator control, just a very interesting man. And I felt like somebody needed to record his story, so I did.
Yeah. Would you hold it up to the camera one more time? And I just want to say this is Between Two Skies for those of you that maybe are listening on audio only and can't see the cover. It's a great cover. Between Two Skies, John Bradshaw.
Sounds like a great story, you know.
And what are you working on next?
I just finished the rough draft of a modern Western, might call it a neo-Western, sort of a cowboy crime thriller. It's off I'm off on a different path at the moment, and I may return to Huey Calloway, but I wanted to try something different right now. So, you know, I don't know when it may come out.
Do you need advanced readers?
Yes, I do. Okay. That's a deal.
Where can people find you and follow you and purchase your books, John?
Okay, the books are available in multiple places, but practically everyone has Amazon. I'd rather send them to a small bookstore, but that's kind of hit or miss. But go to my website, www.johnbradshawbooks.com, and there are links there. There are links to my social media pages.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Let's see. Jim, do you have a quote?
We have a quote. It's around here someplace. Yeah, I took this in the book, from the bossing. Yeah, our man, our chief guy, Yui, he's in conversation with Enrique. Yes, particularly as Enrique is building a fence. And one morning, Enrique paused while digging a post hole, the sweat running down his face. "You know, Mr. Yui, I think maybe so you should get some Mexicans to do this. I hear those people are hard workers, and they are good at building things." "You do realize you are Mexican, don't you?" asked Yui. "That's what I always thought. But now I'm not so sure," says Enrique. "I think I must be a gringo." And Yui paused. "Why is that?" Enrique could not help but grin. "Because I'm not so good at hard work." That's kind of funny.
Fun relationship. The dialogue between the two of them is always, you always sit up and take notice. Well, John, we want to thank you so much for being with us tonight. It was wonderful to catch up with you, and I'm sure there's going to be something in 2027. Maybe by the end of July, we'll have to make a note of that.
Yeah.
We want to thank everybody that is watching us tonight or maybe picking this up on the replay. We want to thank you so much for joining us, following us, and sharing. It means a lot to Jim and me to have you enjoying this platform of Rendezvous with a Writer. We want to thank Sam Hassan, LA Talk Radio's founder, and our DJ tonight, and our engineer. Of course, our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, and Alex Dormont and the Hot Texas Swing Band. Next week, we kick off August, and the first week next week, August 6th, 2026, they'll actually be celebrating our fourth anniversary on the air. And Henry Park, who is always with us the first Thursday of every month, who is an author and the film editor for True West Magazine, Henry will be with us, along with Vicki Fembley. I am so excited. I have already, Vicki, if you're watching, I read this book in like one sitting. I'm already into a follow-up. This is a wonderful and important book that I'm really looking forward to talking about. John, it has a lot to do with Mustangs. Yeah. And do you have a comment, a following comment?
You know, as we always, by the way, thank you again, John.
Thank you.
As we always say, it's always a great day out west.
We'll see you down the trail. Keep riding.
We'll keep reading.
And we'll see you next week. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. See you.